بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we start another chapter also doing with adab and etiquette from the beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. باب النهي عن التغوط في طريق الناس وظلهم وموارد الماء ونحوها. The chapter on the prohibition of relieving oneself where people walk or seek shade or any water sources. To relieve oneself there in these areas is something that is not correct. Now we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many things are taught to us. Even where a person should relieve himself, that also is taught to a person. Where he shouldn't relieve himself, where he should relieve himself. All these things are taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, our deen is so refined, is so complete. On one occasion, some people wanted to mock Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu. Sorry, Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu. So they told him, لَقَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ, that your Nabi had taught you everything, even how to relieve yourself. How to go to the toilet your Nabi had taught you. So mockingly, this person asked that question. So Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, very proud of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught us, he said, Ajal, definitely Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And not only has taught us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nahana an nastaqbila al-qibla, that he told us that we mustn't even face qibla when we're relieving ourselves. وَأَنَّ نَسْتَنْجِيَ بِالْيَمِينَ, we mustn't make istinja with the right hand, even that he taught us. And then وَأَنَّ نَسْتَنْجِيَ بِالْرُوثِ وَعَزْمٍ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ, and that we shouldn't use any droppings of animals to relieve, to clean ourselves, and we shouldn't use bones also to clean ourselves. Even that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. In other words, what we should be using also for istinja, direction, all that is taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these hadiths that we'll do here will show us that even the places that we're choosing to relieve ourselves, in those days now there was no built up toilets like how we have now. So people would choose spots to go and relieve themselves. They'd be careful, they don't cause any inconvenience to anybody by choosing such a spot where people generally walk, choosing such a spot where people take rest under the tree or shade under the tree, or choose such a spot where there's water areas there. People may need to use the water, drink the water, etc. So be careful of that also. قال الله تعالى والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا. Those who harm the believing men and women for no sin on their part will bear the burden of slander and a manifest sin. In other words, there was absolutely no sin on the part of these people, but they caused zulm and oppression, gave them takleef. So now they will bear the brunt of it. So this teaches us something, as Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has written, that any action that will cause takleef to another person, that will cause some kind of difficulty and harm to another believer, now that action becomes haram to do. For example, if a person doesn't park his car correctly, he parks in the middle of the road. And this was happening quite often during the janaza times, or sometimes when the janazas and you go to Kabristan where there's small roads, people, they park the car in the middle of the road and they go to the Kabristan. Not realizing that people want to come past, somebody wants to drive past, or sometimes a person just parked there to talk to one friend and he's causing such a hold up in traffic. So any action that will cause takleef to anybody, as Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah has written, that action to do is haram. Imagine, so much. It becomes a means, a sabab of people getting some type of difficulty. That action now becomes haram. So sometimes we want to do an action that is nafil. Person, for example, wants to read wrong rakats of nafil namaz in the masjid and he didn't park his car correctly outside. So many people are being held up. So that action of holding people up and giving them takleef, that is haram. Sometimes a person will try and do a nafil namaz. So therefore, to have our priorities correct, that we don't cause any kind of takleef, any kind of hardship or harm to any person. وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ اِتَّقُوا اللَّاعِنَيْنَ قَالُوا وَمَا اللَّاعِنَانَ قَالَ الَّذِي يَتَخَلَّى فِي طَرِيقِ النَّاسِ أَوْ فِي ظِلِّهِمْ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of two actions which provoke curses. The Sahaba asked, what are the two actions that provoke curses? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, one who relieves himself where people walk or seek shade. One who relieves himself where people walk or seek shade. One aspect that is written in the Kitab also, that if it is a place where people generally seek good things, persons seek shade, it's a hot day. So like that, if it is a place where people go to in cold days, Sometimes in other countries you'll see, not so much here, in other countries you'll find that in cold days, they actually read namaz in the outer side of the masjid. The outer side, the sahan area, the open area of the masjid, so that they can read namaz in the sunlight. It's cold during the day, winter time, so they read namaz in the dhub, they call it dhub, in the sunlight. Or sometimes they have the mashura there, or sometimes people even congregate, they sit, they talk in this sunlight areas. So maybe in winter, it will refer to the shady areas, because in summer, the shady areas, person doesn't relieve himself. But also a person should be considerate that if it is a sunny area where people generally frequent, even that area also a person shouldn't relieve himself. And then one thing further, if it is an area where people commit sin, for example, there's one spot under the tree, everyone sits there and they do gambling, or they do something that's haram, they're doing some transactions or some plotting or some planning that is haram, then there's no harm if a person goes and relieves himself in that place. Why now? He's preventing people from doing something that is haram. باب النهي عن بولي ونحوي في الماء الراكد. باب النهي عن البولي ونحوي في الماء الراكد. The chapter on the prohibition of urinating in stagnant water. Even this also is shown to us in our deen, that if a person happens to urinate in water, what happens if the water is stagnant, if a small pond, the water is not flowing, it's not moving, what is the consequences? So this chapter doesn't mean a person must look for flowing water and urinate there, but what it's saying is that the effects of that urine moves in a small pond, the effects of that urine remain there. And if it happens to be a flowing water, the effects will eventually move, but it will take some time to move, so therefore don't even urinate, even in the flowing water. This is what it's trying to explain to us, that the effects of the urine or the stool, whatever a person does, that will remain for a long time there, it will contaminate that water. So don't ever urinate in this standing water. And Jabir radiallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha ayyubala fil ma'ir raqid, rawahu Muslim. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited urinating in stagnant water. One other thing we learn from these hadiths, apart from the fact that it is not correct to urinate, for example, in standing water and water that is in small quantities, etc. One other thing we learn from here is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instilling in the ummah this thought process of not causing any type of harm to anybody. By him mentioning all these things, that where you should urinate, where you shouldn't, people resting or walking places, or places that one, or places of ma, Mawaridil ma actually means those gullies and alleys that lead to the ponds. Because if a person has to urinate in those places that are nearby, that water will now, or that urine eventually will reach that water. So there will be some type of contamination, maybe not immediately, but these are places that are leading to that pond. So it will get contaminated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us to think that you're not even urinating in that pond, but urinating nearby in those places that will lead to that pond or that water. Don't even do that. So be so careful even in your thinking. If you're going to be so careful about where you urinate, how much more careful you'll be about the rights of people, the rights of that money that you're owing to people, the rights of your parents, the rights of the seniors, the rights of your workers. If you're going to be taught and you're going to have this discipline in you, then be careful of where you're going to relieve yourself, how much more careful one should be when it comes to fulfilling the direct rights of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. All these beautiful things are found in the deen. It's just a matter of us applying ourselves. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursalin.